A warm welcome to you as you join with us as we look at our sermon for this week, the second Sunday in Lent. And we commence by lighting our peace and justice candle. And now praying the Lenten prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our great joy to hold your presence within us this morning. You formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into us the breath of life. Today we thank you that you have...
It's okay.
Today, shall I start from the Lenten prayer again?
Okay.
Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our great joy to hold your presence within us this morning. You formed us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life, and we became living souls. Today we thank you afresh that we matter to you. Your eyes are on us. Your light is before us. Your mercy and forgiveness flow through us. We thank you for our community, caring and supportive. May we call out the best in one another with wisdom and love, and be manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, living the life of the reconciled followers of Christ. Amen. And now we're going to sing the hymn, Sing Hey for the Carpenter.
Sharing my laughter, come close to my face.
Today we are going to consider the second in our five-part series as we travel through the 5 weeks of Lent this year. We started last week with listening to the words of forgiveness and set our course based on the words of Jesus, "Forgive, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And we drew from that the great desire of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to bring about a reconciliation in our world of all people and all of creation. And that it begins with us being able to reconcile ourselves to ourselves, to being able to accept that God has forgiven me and I must be able to forgive myself. Before I can forgive anyone else, I need to deal with myself. Today we move a step further and we're going to look at significance first and community. So we're going to be doing the second and the third of the 7 words. You see, we've got 7 words, but we've got 5 weeks, and so we double up in 2 places. Our text for today comes from Luke 23:43, and this is what he says. A criminal has been put on the cross next to Jesus, who has been touched by Jesus's presence with him, and says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A very, very enigmatic question to ask Jesus. Jesus, remember me. And Jesus responds in the last moments of his life with these words to this criminal: today, not tomorrow or next week or when the universe explodes eventually, but today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today, with me in paradise. I'm going to remember you. I do remember you. These two criminals, one on either side of Jesus, represent a sinful humanity, the brokenness of the world in which we live, and Christ being prepared to be crucified in amongst them all. He could have chosen anywhere, but he chose to be crucified amongst the gangsters and the criminals of this world. Two criminals representing sinful humanity, they're in the reconciliation queue. While Jesus had no time for hypocrites, he was comfortable in the presence of sinners and even criminals. God is in them as well. Nongi Donson came to me in early 2016. He had been in prison for 14 years. Prior to that, he had killed someone. He was in prison for 14 years. He had risen to become the head of the 28th gang, the most vicious gang in prison. He had come out of prison and joined the mongrel gang here in Hanover Park. And there he had led he was second in charge, the position of the draught. And he organized the wars that took place, the shootings. He bought the guns and the bullets and much of it from the police and led this gang warfare for approximately 6 years. But in 2016, his partner gave birth to a little girl. And as he stood over the crib looking at this little girl, he made up his mind, I don't want my daughter to have a gangster for a father. And so risking his own life, because you're not allowed to just walk out of a gang, he came and we set up a relationship together. And slowly but surely he found the new life that Christ was offering to him. And as I looked deep into his eyes, I knew that God was in him and with him in spite of all that he had done before. And today he continues to work as an unpaid social worker in that community. No one is too rotten or too bad for God. Christ is very much alive amongst the poor and the terrorized of our world today. Remember me, this criminal says. I want to be remembered because I want my life to matter. I want to have counted for something while I was here on earth. That looking back now seems to have been such a waste. If I could have my life again, how different it would be. The criminal's realization at the point of death is that his life has been wasted, and he wants God's mercy on him. He's also come to realize while hanging on the cross alongside Jesus that there is something unique about Jesus. Jesus has a way about him, even in this horrible situation, that has some special ring in his heart. In a flash, he realizes that Jesus is the real thing. What happens to his partner? We don't know. Too many people believe that his partner went to hell. The Bible doesn't say that. Just prior to this, Jesus has said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Let's not be too judgmental on his partner. His partner was blaspheming and mocking Jesus. But that didn't put Jesus off loving him as well. And so this man goes into his death with the assurance from Jesus, this day we'll be in paradise together. Now, I don't know what paradise is going to be like. And no one has actually come back from there to tell us about it. I must confess at times a little bit of reluctance to be surrounded by cherubim and those fat little babies with wings, or by praise and worship 24 hours a day is going to be a bit rough on me. You know, my music abilities are not too much. But I know that it's going to be something special. I'm pretty sure it is going to be a new earth. In other words, what we've got now, only much more and much nicer and much better. But I'll have to wait and see, and you too, I'm afraid. But certainly trusting God to keep his hand upon us as we go through this will bring out who knows for all of us in the future. So may we take heart this morning. May we take heart from this young man with Jesus and say, it's never too late. And if maybe you are feeling yourself this morning the weight of guilt that he felt, he admitted freely that he was a sinner. He made that known publicly. If you too are finding yourself in that position, I want you to know that from deep within you, God is actually already at work, calling you out to be a part of his loving community and family. Now, this brings us to the second of the two words that we are dealing with today, and this one comes from the Gospel of John. And before I read it, I think it's good for us to remember that John was an old man by the time he got to write this letter, well on into his 80s or even his 90s, we don't know. But the years have gone by. He'd been young when Jesus was crucified and he stood at the cross, probably before he was 21 years old. But the years have gone by, and John has grown in wisdom. He's grown in his relationship with Christ. He's experienced the presence of the Spirit in his heart, and he has matured enormously. And he is now dealing with circumstances. As we move into the second century, he's dealing with circumstances and challenges within the church, which has been growing head over heels. And it's been made up largely of Jews. They were the initial Christians. But Gentiles are now being brought into the church as well. And there is conflict going on between the two of them, and that's just one issue, and I suspect a little bit of what John is doing in the section we're going to look at now has to do with trying to calm that situation somewhat. But listen to these words. John chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Woman. You know, nowhere in the book of John does John ever use the word Mary when he is addressing her. He always gives Jesus the word woman. And that's interesting because we don't always understand Mary too closely. Partly, I suppose, because we don't want to end up being Catholics with their particular views about Mary. And so we have kept away from her and played her down. But we mustn't never forget that Mary at this stage, she's going on for 50 now, she was a feisty young girl. Remember her words in the Magnificat where she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm." Listen to this now. "He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever." So Mary is a lot more than just Jesus' mommy. She is a prophet. She is an apostle in her own right. And the tragedy of the gospel writers or those who edited the gospels when they eventually put them together was a very a very unsubtle attempt to play down the role that woman played in the early church, and completely overlooked the bulk of them, with one or two little places that it slept in. And tragically, for the last up to 2,000 years, the role of woman in the church has been held back because of this approach. Thank God today, many churches, not all, but many churches are starting to change and recognize the apostleship of women as well as men. So John is writing a good 60 years later, and they're dealing with this problem of the Jews and the Gentile Christians in the church. And if in our first session we looked at the criminal looking for significance, we go on to say that when we find significance, we also find community. And so Jesus says to her, "Woman, here is your son." Now, the obvious reading from the context is that he's talking about John, okay, because John is the one standing there. But just pause for a moment before we rush on with that, and take this just in a slightly different way. Woman, behold your son, thinking of himself. Look at me, Mary, I'm your son. I'm your son who was created for sacrifice. This is the plan unfolded for all the great things that you have said and done. This is me. I'm on the cross right here now. Woman, look at your son. Look how your son has ended up. But don't despair. Your son is not your son only. Your son is also the Son of God. And then he's obviously talking to John, the disciple that Jesus loved. And he says to Mary, "Now here is your son. This is the son you will live with and enjoy his company." And then to John, he says, "Here is your mother," as he hands Mary over to him. Tender and merciful, at the point of his own extremities, he considers others and their welfare before his own suffering. So there is far more to Mary, we said, than just what has happened. There is far more to Mary because she goes on to live with John and supports him through the years that will lie ahead. She is an apostle in her own right. Now, what does this say to us? I'll tell you. What we have forming here is the new church. A new church, a new community is being established at the foot of the cross. And it's made up of Mary, who represented the Jewish dimension of the Christian faith, and John, who by now has moved on to represent the Gentiles in the faith. And so the Jews and the Gentiles who are now reading this letter are realizing that we are actually meant to be one family together, a community together of mutual care and mutual love and insight and understanding. Sure, we have been reconciled, and that's lovely. We have found significance for ourselves in the presence of Christ within us, the holy presence of Christ living within us. Now we are to find community, a community with those in whom Christ also dwells, so that as I meet with you and you meet with me, there is a communication taking place in another dimension between the Christ who is in you and the Christ who is in me, and there is a longing for us to be able to make it a positive and loving and caring relationship. And so the challenge for us today is, trust in Christ and you will find your significance. And that will be the significance that really matters, not what people say or don't say about you, but what God has said to you. You are my beloved child. And then to come on into community where we can together demonstrate the fruit of God's Spirit and show his love and his life to the world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, these are deep things once more that we are looking into. May we hear your voice of affirmation and confirmation to us today that we will be with you in paradise today. And may we be able to reach out into our community as the people who bear your cross in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we sing our closing hymn. And now we say the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and evermore. Amen.